I will say, one of the things that does give me a lot of hope about Russell Wilson kind of getting back is he's painting the corners, man. I mean, he has had an ability the last couple of weeks of just finding the tiniest of windows. Adam Trautman was the latest. He finds him. They ruled that an incomplete pass at first, but when you slow it down, slides into the kind of the front portion of the end zone, and his knee was down as he caught it. So it was a touchdown. They ruled that a touchdown. I will say, man, is pretty amazing. He's had a handful of those during this win streak, a lot of them to Cortland Sutton, of course, but just putting it where there's literally only one guy that could get it. It's either going to be an incomplete pass or it's going to be a great play. And Russ is giving his guys those kind of chances. And so I will say that has been really exciting. But I'm not like all the way in on this whole, yeah, let's go. Russ is amazing. He's back. The Well County Swami says, let me read it. Brady, I've agreed with you on the fact Russ's numbers doesn't mean he's back, but really felt like Russ played a better game Sunday than his stats show. Gotta be consistent with it. He made some great plays. Oh, okay. Yeah, but at the end of the day, stats can tell you a lot. They can also be deceiving. 134 yards, you did enough to not lose the game. Yes, he had the Trautman throw, and I love that. He's making some of those throws, some of those plays. It was not a bad game at all. It was a good game by Russ. I agree with you, it was a good game. But that's what I'm seeing is, at the best, is good games. It's just a good game.
Well, it's like you said, it's a very game manager type of play. Not that's in a negative sense, but yeah, you didn't win the game throwing the ball. You won it with the turnovers, with the running game, and Russ has been able to make plays late in games that don't lose you games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big thing right now is Russ is not losing games. That is the big thing. Is he being asked on a regular basis to go down and produce and win? I mean, take the Cleveland game out. It's been a lot of turnovers that the Broncos don't really take advantage of, but they just keep getting enough of them that turns into field goals and then late game heroics by Russ. Listen, he's better. He is better than last year. The question isn't that. It's not the question. You got guys on the four-letter network talking about Russ like he's Patrick Mahomes. That you owe an apology. You need to draft up an apology letter to this guy. We were all wrong. Russ is good. He's, you know, we're talking about Michael Porter Jr.'s contract. He's worth the money you're paying him. And the answer to that is no. He's not right now. And so the question is today, if you're forced to make that decision today, based on what you've seen, are you comfortable with saying Russell Wilson is the future? And I'm talking 2-3 years after this season at quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And you can't say, oh, I need to see how the rest of the year plays out. I need to see this. No, I'm asking today. You have to make that decision. And you need to decide whether Russ is your quarterback next year and the year beyond that or after that, or you decide to move on and see what you can find probably in the late teens in the draft, if we're just being honest here, that they might not make the playoffs, that there'll be more of a late teens draft.
You know, barring some kind of restructuring of this contract, next year the cap hit is about $35 million. Then it jumps to 55, and then 58, and then 53.
So that's why this offseason is the year you can get out, right?
And even then, how much can you knock off from that, even from 35, how much can you knock off to make it feel like you're paying him what he's worth?
Right. And that's why the question is today, like, if you keep him, you're locking it in. You're locking in the new contract that just keeps going up and up and up and up and up. So will he restructure a little bit of that? He might. You know, I think if he truly cares about winning, then he would sit down with team management and figure out, hey, we need you to take a little bit of a haircut. Not a lot.
They do have a potential out for 2026, you would be end up paying him four years, $161 million with a $31 million dead cap.
What's the hit now if, like, at the end of this season, if they move on? It's not crazy. It's all crazy. This is money we're talking about.
$107 million.
So is that going to be less than what would it be next year?
It's $107 million dead cap. Next year would be $85 and then $49.
I mean, I guess the reason to do it now is I believe it locks in. There's more guaranteed next year. Mm-hmm. For him, so that's why
a $10 million signing bonus the next 3 years.
That's why this offseason, because of the guarantee, is so critical for the Broncos. Odds are they'll stay the course. You know, you brought up something during the break. How confident are you that Sean Payton can get a young quarterback and turn him into something? Because right now, you're not going to be. You're not even in, even though Caleb Williams is a weird discussion now, you're not in that sweepstakes anymore.
What if Sean Payton and Russ are tied together in this, and that when he's done, I'm done? We kind of talked about Sean Payton, like, if this is his last shot, I'm going to make it work with Russell, and then that'll solidify me as a top coach because I did it with Drew Brees, and then I did it with another veteran guy in Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And he could just be fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
And then maybe...
Because are you in it for a rebuild? Mm-hmm. If you're Sean Payton, are you in it for a rebuild? Or did you really see something in the Broncos where you go, man, Hackett was so bad, anybody could come in there and win six games. So I'm going to go in there and just do that. And
what's 5 years?
I'll get Russ back to where he was, and that's it. But I don't have this big interest in this massive rebuild. I don't have interest in doing what Carolina's doing. Yeah, it'd be great to do what Houston's doing, but that's not a real guarantee. In fact, it's the opposite of that. I think what Houston's doing is miraculous. Dixon says, when you get the turnovers, his stats aren't going to jump off the page. Short fields. Yeah, but I want to see more touchdowns. I mean, if we're going to be honest and talk about Beeb Fair on the stats, he had one touchdown against Cleveland. Again, I'm not trying to be that guy today where I'm coming out here complaining about a positive thing. But my job here is to analyze what I'm seeing, and I can't just get on here like you hear a lot of these people do and just five wins in a row, Russell Wilson must be perfect. No, I actually watch every single game closely, and I'm telling you, it still feels complicated. It's getting less complicated, but it still feels that way. It never looks easy like some of the great quarterbacks make it look at times.
Well, I think I might have mentioned it last week, the perception and, you know, how you look at this team changed once you got back to 500. Now you're over 500, and the expectations are higher.
Yeah, they're way higher.
So you have to look at it differently.
You are now going, okay, you didn't want to tank. You're going all in for this, and I'm not punishing him for that. As a fan, I want to watch you win games. It sucks to be at a point where if we were at this point right now and they were a three-win team, and you're just like, let's just get through it. I don't really want to watch. It's whatever. Trust me, I'm happy with the situation. But here's what it looks like now. At Houston, that suddenly becomes a very tough matchup. Houston, this is a playoff kind of game right here. Houston's directly in front of you. And then it's the Colts, I believe. Then you're at the Chargers, which, like you said, even though the Chargers have their issues with Staley and all that stuff, they can put points on the board. Can you get into a track meet? The Lions, I think they're a good enough team now where you can even just say they had a bad game on Thursday, on Thanksgiving. They just had a bad game. So that's going to be a battle. Those are all three on the road. Then you're home against the Patriots.
I think that's another thing I noticed looking at the streak. You've played four of those five games at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, credit for the Buffalo game, but also we're kind of seeing Buffalo is not maybe...
I want to be careful because I don't want to make it come off like I'm trying to be so negative on everything with Russ and with the win streak.
Well, it's cautious.
But you beat the Packers. Who are the Packers? I don't know. They're not good. But they're not as bad as I thought. So maybe that win becomes a little bit more interesting. You beat the Chiefs. That was a good win. And Mahomes was sick reportedly the day before that or whatever, and he's not using an excuse, whatever. That's a good win. You play the Chiefs well. You have. Even in the streak, you played them well. It was bound to break at some point. At Buffalo, sure. Buffalo is going to be, it's going to be a battle for them to just get to the playoffs now.
They have to win out, basically.
Yeah. And now you're rooting against them because you don't want them catching the Broncos. And the Vikings, they're unsure about their quarterback situation again. Surprise, surprise. Really high on Dobbs for about 4 seconds. And then Cleveland. I thought maybe they'd waver even with Deshaun Watson there, but then he gets hurt, and now this situation. You got to be real with it. Is this going to be a situation where you're a 7-8 win team and it's back to drafting at pick number 19 or 20? And if that's the case, then ugh, tough. 16 minutes after the hour. Let's see. I got text here. Let me get to text on the other side. Well, County Swami, Packers just beat Chargers and Lions back-to-back weeks. The Chargers. The Lions, I'll give you that. But I think that, like I said, the Lions have earned a weird Thanksgiving game now where they're good. And it's just like, oh, that wasn't Lions football.
Maybe they used one of their other running backs. They might do better.
Yeah. Okay, I got text three. 17 after the hour. We got Mike Brohard talking to us, a little CSU. Let's talk some hoops. Let's talk football with Brohard, CSURams.com. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Stay up to speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. With me now, joining us now, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com, one of our Colorado State Rams insider. And boy, there's a big game coming up tomorrow night. Cannot wait for that one. Colorado State, Colorado, on the basketball side of things. I think both teams are probably going to be dancing in the future, but we'll see. I know it's going to be a big dance tomorrow night. Mike, my friend, how are you?
I'm peachy, and you?
I'm doing okay. I got a nasty cold about a week and a half ago, and it's just hanging on for dear life. So other than that, I'm as you would say, peachy.
I'm peachy.
Good, yeah. Good. All right, football side of things, let's start there, Mike. Obviously, not the way you wanted this thing to go. The Hawaii thing always just, it always presents a unique challenge. It's difficult, no matter what kind of season Hawaii's having or whatever. Playing winning a football game in Hawaii is a difficult task, and unfortunately, Colorado State just couldn't quite get over that hump to get win number six, making them eligible for a bowl game.
Yeah, they just did not. Again, it was one of those games where they took periods of the game off. It took an ominous turn. Really, you had to be encouraged. First drive. Go right down the field, Justin Marshall, scores on the nice run. Then they answer right back. They're marching down the field again, and the interception in the end zone, which Hawaii then turns around and marches down the field to tie the game. That was the ominous turn, because on that play, if Fowler Nicolosi throws that ball when Horton makes his cut at the 10, it's a touchdown. Instead, it turns into a turnover, and the game's tied instead of, CSU being up 14-0. And then you're putting a Hawaii team that really isn't playing for anything kind of on the ropes early in the game. And that didn't happen. Then you allow them to run the ball with great success, and you give up nearly 500 yards of total offense. You miss some open receivers. You don't get, you only gain 9 yards in the third quarter. So, again, the third quarter becomes a bugaboo. And then, you have a wild, furious try to finish in the fourth. And like a couple other times this year, you have that and you think it looks good, and then it still comes up short.
Yeah, just some tough finishes throughout the course of the season for Colorado State where, a lot of those games you can look at and go, man, what could have been if you could flip those around? But unfortunately, 5 wins, that's what the Rams finished with. On that side of things, Mike, I don't know, I'm not asking for a list necessarily, but when you look at the offseason, I know last year we talked a lot about the offensive line, and that was going to be a point of emphasis for where the Rams really needed to focus on getting better. What do you look at this offseason? Obviously, there's some key players going to be moving on, like Mo. What are you looking at some of the things you really would like to see Colorado State get better in this offseason?
So are you asking specifically in position or – like position groups, or just a broad general sense?
Position
groups. Because they're two different things to me.
What would a broad sense be?
Broad general sense is this team needs to learn how to win.
Okay, how do you do that in the offseason?
They need to learn how to win in crunch time, and that's what you're going to have to do. I mean, and a lot of it's going to be done where you've got to just develop that attitude where you're taking everything serious all the time.
So what does that look like?
Every play matters. You know, like when you talk about the what's important now, that has to start in January when they return and they're doing off-season workouts. So the guys that know that they need to be stronger need to get stronger. The guys that know they need to get faster need to get faster. The guys that have injuries, you know, they've got to rehab and take that serious. And then you need to go out and be prepared on game day. Whatever, you know, like first game that you come out, Texas is what's on the schedule right now, right? You're supposed to go to Texas, and you've got to be prepared to play your very best that game. And leave no questions asked. You don't want to look back on that game and go, what should we have done differently, right? It's going to be obviously Texas is going to go in that game. They're going to be heavily favored, right? Nobody's going to expect Colorado State to win. But then again, nobody expected Colorado State to give Colorado a game the second week of the season, right? So, but you've got to go out and you've got to learn to be focused and put everything you can. You have to play a full 60 minutes. That's the next step. This team has to learn to play a full 60 minutes and learn how to pull out the close games.
Mike, I think you got the coach speak. You got the coach speech down. You got it. When you
but is that really coach speak if it's the truth?
I guess not. But
I mean, if you think about it, there's no reason why Colorado State should have gone out to Hawaii needing to win that game to become bowl eligible, because there were chances earlier in the year to have gotten that sixth win prior.
So, Mike, is that a leadership? I'm not throwing this at Norvell or anything. Is that because you had a young quarterback this year? What is that when you? Because I always hear that, you know, hey, we got to finish. We got to find ways to finish. We got to learn how to win games. And you always wonder, okay, what is that? Because they all know they need to finish. They need to win games. Is that, do you put a lot of that on your, you know, one of the most important positions in sports? You put that on a young quarterback, or is it not as easy as that?
It's not as easy as that. And to just look and you can't put all of this on Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, by God, no. Like, great. He threw the interception. He wants that pass back as much as anybody, but that didn't lead to 497 yards of total offense for Hawaii or 151 rushing yards, right? It was being focused and being in the moment, and that becomes a collective thing. So it's not on one player or even one position group. It can be on an entire unit. And then, yes, if somebody is messing up, somebody on that team has to hold them accountable for what they're doing and get them back and get them focused, right? You never know what play is going to make the difference. Like, we talked about that interception early on in the game. That wasn't a fourth quarter play, right? But that could have made a huge difference earlier in the game, right? It changes the complexion of the game. So you have to be ready all the time. You go back and you look at the third quarters that Colorado State played in, they just weren't great in the third quarter. And that's a time, I mean, everybody wants a fast start, but you do want to do that again to start the second half. And that just wasn't there. And I think a lot of it really comes down to, I don't know if it's a malaise. I mean, we're talking since 2017, since this team's had a winning record. You've got to get players accustomed to winning and expecting to win, and that's part of the uphill battle. And you need to do that by winning. So is it a catch-22? Is it a double-edged sword? Is it, you know, the chicken before the egg thing? I don't know, but it is the thing. This team needs to learn how to win and learn how to play consistently for four quarters.
And I think that's what's so frustrating. And obviously, I saw your guys write up on on Mo Camara, Conference Player of the Year, phenomenal. Other players like Horton, Jack Howell, Dallin Holker, first team selections. You have some really good players, and I think a lot of people absolutely still are, you know, all in on Jay Norvell and what he can do with this program, but. Getting to that point where you see it. Okay, you see them go up big against the Utah State. You saw them battle it out, duke it out with a CU team that was hotter than hell at that moment. That was a tough time to get them because they were smoking hot, and you battled, and that game was so widely viewed. So we all saw a lot of these positives with Colorado State. So I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah, mentally, there's got to be a way to find out how we know we got the talent. We like the coaching staff. How do we put it all together? And I suppose that's why those guys that are paid a lot more than you and I, you know, that's what they got to work on this offseason.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it this way, if you want to leave things chalk, right? So you would expect after the way the season played out, Braden comes back as your starting quarterback. Right, so he now has an entire offseason to prepare to be the starting quarterback instead of being thrust into that role during a bye week after game one. So there are a lot of things that he can work out with the expectation he's going to play a lot, as opposed and do it with the people he'll be on the field with, as opposed to backups. You understand what I'm getting at? Is that he now has an entire offseason to play with the first team offense. He can develop better touch on the deep balls. He can develop a better feel for when guys make cuts, the speed of the game, when he has to release the ball, at what point in time. And those are things that they're going to go back and they're going to show Braden tape of and say, all right, this is what we need to look at. This is what we need to work on.
What about the defensive side, Mike? Again, you talk about a lot of key players, some really good, talented players led by Mo Camara, and I'll ask you about him, where you think he might land as far as the NFL side of things in a moment. But what can you work on there, too? And I know we're talking about the mental aspect and everything as far as just giving up yards, getting gashed, all that kind of stuff. But you talk about BFN and what he needs to be working on and what he can do to get better. Defensively, you know, two seasons ago or last year or whatever, they were a pleasant surprise to a lot of people. You know, they were making some key plays. They were keeping the Rams in games and in some cases winning some of those games. This year, it feels like a step was taken back. So what do you see on the defensive side? Specifically when you look at maybe some key positions that they need to get stronger in?
Well, you have to replace, obviously, you start with Mo, right? You're going to have to replace that pass rush. You have to replace that, as Jay put it, that just relentless effort from Monday through Saturday. Somebody's got to fill that void in leadership as much as they do what he can do physically. I don't think you can replace Mo physically. I don't think you expect a newer gap count to all of a sudden be Mo Camara because he's still building. Neuer he finally got his first sack and a half sack in that game against Hawaii. They have high hopes for him and what he can do. You know, McKinney comes back. You should probably get some more weight on it. Kennedy McDowell, and hopefully that he makes things. But, and then part of it is also, like, in growing up, you have to play smarter, not the dumb penalties, the selfish penalties, as Jay called them, along the way. You've got to replace a linebacker and Justin Sanchez. Chiggy's gone in the back end, but you bring your safeties back. There's a lot to work with, but it's going to be a spring ball to where they're trying to make everything, no matter what it is, more cohesive.
Mike Brohar joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, Torrey Horton coming back?
That's a really good question. If you're asking me personally what I think he's going to do, without having to talk to anybody, I think he's coming back.
Mm.
Because I don't think he's a he's not a first day draft pick. He might not be I don't think he's a second day draft pick. So, and he's coming off a season where he was not at 100% very often. And so, and NFL scouts will use anything against you. So he's probably better served coming back because one, it's a deep wide receiver class. And two, he's got some things he can prove. I look at it a little bit like a Trey McBride. You know, like Trey could have gone a year earlier, yet he came back because he knew there were some questions about him. He still would have been drafted after his junior year, but he got drafted higher coming back and proving some doubters wrong. And I think that's something that Torrey can do.
Well, I hope you're right. I know a lot of Rams fans will be happy to at least hear that side of it from you. Mo Kamara, obviously a tremendous player. What can you say about this guy? Like you talked about the work ethic, what he actually puts out there on the field. Defensive player of the year in the Mount West Conference. Where do you think, is he a day one draft pick in your mind, Mike? Or where do you think he'll end up landing?
I think he's a day one draft pick because you're talking day one now, it's first round, right?
Correct.
He's going to end up someplace. People are going to be fascinated by him because he could play, a defensive end. I think a lot of people are going to see him more like a Russian in a 4-3 where he doesn't have to put his hand in the ground. But if you watched him play this year, he played a lot. They moved him around. Like, he would rush from the middle of the field. So I think his athleticism, I think he can cover some people. Like, if the defense wants him to drop back, to fill up his zone, he can do that because he can move. I think he's got a bright future.
Yeah, I do too. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Big one tomorrow night. How about both teams for Colorado State, the men's and women's team? Not a lot of losing going on between those two programs.
There's absolutely no losing.
Zero.
Between those two programs. Zero. So that was the cool thing about the trip to Hawaii because, of course, we were all bummed because couldn't watch a game. No internet on the plane. And then as we all know, like when you fly, as you start to get close to landing, you get those little blips of all of a sudden you've got internet service.
Yeah.
And Brandon Randall, our social media guru, was sitting in the row in front of me, and all of a sudden I heard him go, "Holy shit." And I go, "What?" And he goes, "Did we win?" And I go, he goes, "Yeah, we won." And the first thing I was shocked because I asked him to score and he told me, you know, what it was. Because I really thought that game was going to be both teams in the 80s at least. Like, you were going to have to score 80 points to win that game. But obviously, great defensive effort by CSU, great recognition, and what a blow up, you know, coming in with CU coming in, then falling out of the rankings. Just a great setup for Wednesday night, packed house at Moby. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, man. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be out there tomorrow. I'm going with my guy, Steve Ivey, tomorrow. So it should be a lot of fun. I don't know whether I'm supposed to wear green or white. So I guess I'll figure that out, Mike. The tough things in life.
Are you sitting in press row?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, there you go.
Let me see. I'm trying to look.
Just figure out.
Can I give you a big old hug?
The sections are white.
I don't think we're.
The sections are going to be wearing white.
Okay.
T-shirt.
We're not in the.
So, I think, like, in the media section, like, Ryan Pfeiffer, who's on top of everything, of course, told me I'm supposed to wear green.
Well, I just want to wear what you're wearing, Mike. That's all I want to do.
I'm wearing green.
All right.
I'm going green. So, Brady, go green.
I'm going to wear.
I just hope that you're not sitting in a section where you're supposed
but
to wear white.
I'll wear a white undershirt under the green, just in
you
case.
You know, that's a smart idea.
Yeah.
Wear something green on top, but have something white underneath. That way, if you find yourself in that section where you needed to be wearing white, you can just go ahead and make the switch.
Yeah. Mike, always appreciate it. You owe us a dollar, by the way.
I owe you a dollar?
Swear jar. Swear jar dollar.
Oh, I dropped it. Is that still a swear word?
It's still a swear word. Yeah. We got it dropped, though, I think. Don't worry about it, but you owe us a dollar. Swear jar. We're keeping it for you.
Is there a seven-second delay?
There's a seven-second delay. I didn't think you'd be the one to test that, but there we are, Mike. That's
well,
it.
I was just quoting somebody.
It doesn't count if it's a quote.
Well, I was quoting somebody. It wasn't my words. I was quoting Brandon. Brandon's got a pocket mouth.
Yeah.
You know me. I don't
get the dollar one. From him. Get the dollar from him. Mike,
right,
appreciate
so I'm
you.
I'm supposed to give the dollar to you or to Angel?
To Angel.
All right. I need to go. Are we still sticking with the seven words that George Carlin came up with?
I think so.
Like, I know a couple at the top of that list I will never use.
Well, you can say – it's funny because you can say the A word, but it's got to be in the certain different – what am I looking for?
I need to be speaking about a donkey if I use the A word?
Yes. Yep. Like you can say – I'm just going to say you could say jackass, but you can't say a, you know, whole show,
yeah.
Something like that. You can't do that. It's weird. But we'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah,
isn't that? I guess I'm learning.
Isn't that something?
I thought like the bottom four of George Carlin's list weren't even really considered swear words.
I don't know. It's better to be safe than sorry. But we got you covered.
I mean,
don't worry.
The big three still stand. I know that.
Yes, the big three definitely still stand. I think we had that once too. It was like on the morning show or something. Crazy times, Mike.
That was probably Mark Knudsen that dropped that.
Oh, it probably was at some point. Yeah, Mike, appreciate you, man. I'll see you tomorrow. Okay.
I'll put a dollar on my desk so I don't get
to. Can you sign it? That might be worth something.
My apologies to the Greeley community, the FCC, and anybody associated with the whole show.
Mike, this is what I'm telling you. We're 5,000 watts. It's not just Greeley. It's Loveland. It's Fort Collins. It's probably Denver.
Northern
heard it
Colorado.
Too.
My apologies to Northern Colorado.
Probably parts of Wyoming. Not that you care. You know, because of Wyoming.
No. But my daughter's in Greeley. She's a lawyer in Greeley.
She probably heard it.
She's a lawyer in Loveland, so in case she heard it, she'll just laugh, let's be honest.
That's what I'm doing.
But you got bleeped anyway, 7-second rule, right?
I want to go back and listen to it. I want to hear the bleep. I'm going to go back and find it. All right. Mike.
If not, put it on Twitter for me so I can laugh about it for eternity.
I will. I'm going to put it out there. All right, okay. Mike. Appreciate you, bro.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, Angel, it's funny. So, I know we got a break, but when somebody curses on the air, it just sends a shock through all of us. And like, yes. So Angel's job is to reach over. There's a dump button and hit it. But you got to react quickly. And sometimes when someone cusses, it just like, we both just look at each other like, did that happen? I don't know. And like our eyes are having their own little side conversation. I think you nailed it, though.
I think so. It's a big red button that says dump profanity, and then it has a little bar here that says delay time in seconds. It's about 7.5 seconds.
Yeah, I think you got it. I think you nailed it. We'll find out. But that was hilarious. All right, 41 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Forty-five minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Thanks for being with us here today. I want to shout out to Shields. You know, Christmas time, it's less than a month away, Angel. Yeah, I know. Terrifying. It's the 25th still. Seems like it's that year. It's that time every year. Well, no, the Christmas will be the 25th, so less than a month.
When did that start?
Yeah, a long time ago. You know, it's been that way for a while. But you can get your Christmas shopping done all at Shields. Like, I hate the term one-stop shop, but it kind of works. You can get sports stuff. You can get exercise gear. Maybe there's a camper in your life. There's a fisherman in your life. Lego store. I mean, they have everything there. So a trip to Shields is probably worth it when you are going through your Christmas shopping list. You might want to stop by Shields. You could probably take care. You could probably do a lot of damage at Shields.
Could we buy a swear jar?
Yeah.
It's like a big mason jar.
Eastside Chris, you were listening. Did you hear it? Did it come over? I don't think it did. Eastside Chris says, wow, be careful of listening to an a-hole show. You got that. That's good. Oh, he's got an update for us. He's still doing the Northern New Mexico thing.
I was wondering how they were doing.
Northern New Mexico suffered a brutal holiday weekend, dropping 3 games. That's a shock when they have like 3 players. The Fighting Eagles currently sit at 1-10. Who'd they beat?
Was it like New Mexico Southeastern or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, New Mexico wherever. They're eagerly awaiting a contest tomorrow evening on their Oklahoma tour, beginning with Bajon College.
They're waiting? Or they're just going to see if we can play?
Don't
We're going to show up at the gym. If you guys want to let us in, we'll play a game with you.
You're still roving KFKA, Northern New Mexico reporter Chris. Now back to you fellas in the booth. P.S. would love to hear a walk-up eagle cry prior to my segment. You make that happen? You know, a little eagle? Like,
sure.
Right before we do a little report from him? Because I'm guessing he's going to keep with this, which I'm grateful for. There's zero chance I would know that Northern New Mexico is 1-10. That's kind of cool, actually. What am I looking for here? What am I looking for? Dixon texting in. If I'm Russ and everybody and their brother was slamming on me for almost a year and a half, then we start winning and you want to kiss my butt, I'm telling you to pound sand if you ask me to take a pay cut. I may restructure so you turn some of that into straight cash in my pocket, homie, but you are paying me every penny one way or the other.
Is that a direct quote?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever heard Russ say homie.
I don't think so, Dixon. That's not a Russ thing. No. You can tell them to pound sand, but they're going to tell you, do you want to be a Hall of Famer? Do you want to go to a Super Bowl? Do you want to win one while you're here in Denver? Because we can't afford enough good players. They're going to have to figure out something with the wide receiver position. I know Cortland Sutton has been a nice little story, and he's, you know, Mr. Red Zone, but where's your playmakers? Samaje Perine cannot be that high up leading in receiving yards and catches and all that.
No, I mean, you know, you need a Tyreek, a Stephon Diggs, a Justin Jefferson, a big-time receiver.
Or a tight end.
He had it with DK Metcalf in the last couple years.
You're going to need weapons. You're going to need a better tight end. Because the Dulcich thing, I mean, he hasn't played since, like, 1937. You know, I just don't... You're going to need to afford weapons. You're going to try to... You're going to need to keep guys. You know, guys with contracts coming up. There's going to be some big decisions, and that gets more complicated when you're so top-heavy paying a quarterback. So I think they're going to have to ask. It's going to be worth a shot. All right, 49 minutes after the hour. What did we learn coming up next? I got to read this text. I was just getting ready to break. You are correct. The Broncos have to have someone who can pop the top off. Thank you. Yeah. You got to have more playmakers, man. I'm crediting Samaje Perine, yes. But also, isn't that kind of scary? Your backup running back is getting a lot of praise, and that's great for Samaje Perine, not necessarily good for your offense.
Can you justify signing Javonte Williams to a second contract?
I don't know, because you don't trust him in third down situations. You don't trust him in passing in mixed situations where you could run it or you could throw it. You trust Samaje Perine right now with your life. That guy's decent, man. He's been a nice surprise for the Broncos. What did we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend.
I learned that maybe Nikola Jokic is just holding this Nuggets team back. Maybe. Angel, no. I learned that, you know what? Reggie Jackson, DeAndre Jordan, they got some gas left in the tank. I don't know how much, but that was a really fun one to see last night when the Nuggets took down the Clippers. Angel, what'd you learn on this 28th day of November?
That quarterback-coach relationship is probably the most important one to have in football.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You got to find that combo. Find that combo. Everything else will kind of work itself out. And we'll be back at it tomorrow. We'll preview CSU-CU. I'm really looking forward to that game. So we're excited about that one. I'm planning on going. So should be a blast. Should be a fun one. Absolutely. So more on that. Broncos, playoff standings, Nuggets, all that. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. Good night, Northern Colorado.